Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Sunday Morning Breakfast Learning Center. So glad that everyone is here and on the line. Well, tonight we are so gracious because Mr. DJ is going to lead us off for tonight. So without further ado, we're going to go ahead and hand the call over to Mr. DJ as we're here on at Sunday Morning Breakfast Learning Center. Mr. DJ, how you doing?
I'm all right. Good evening, everyone out there. I would like to start us off with a word of prayer, if everybody don't mind. Bow your head, close your eyes, and open up your heart. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you on humble knees, and we ask that you come into us, bring us down so that we may lift you up. May something said, something discussed, may touch our hearts and bring us closer to you, so that we may study your word and be witnesses for you. Help us to study, help us to grow amongst each other and grow in your word. And bless everybody under the sound of my voice as we begin our call tonight. In your name, Jesus, amen.
Amen.
All right. Tonight's topic, well, actually, this is the learning part of it. This is Monday. I got to remember getting my days mixed up. Just want to recap and touch on a key few points. Tonight, I really, really, really want us to call in and be interactive. When we call in, we have a time, such a good time, and that blesses the Sunday Morning Breakfast staff as well. Just a few key points. We were talking about he can do the impossible. He can do the impossible, and we know this, and that's easy. I think the difficult for God, we probably can't even imagine, because there's nothing that he really can't do except to fail and become wicked. Those are the only two things that God cannot do. I would like to actually open up by saying something a little humorous, and it's going to lead right into my whole point. There was a woman that was in her house praying. She would always sing and pray. There was these two little boys. These two little boys used to hear her praying. These two boys, they weren't her grandsons, but they were kids from next door. They used to come by, and she always give them some food. And she would pray over her food and thank God for the food. And these kids ridiculed her. They didn't say anything. They weren't disrespectful, but they didn't know who God was. They didn't understand who God was. So as she prayed, you know, they were half listening, but they were listening upon ears to try to trip her up, you know, to be like, what's this crazy woman talking about? There's no God. God doesn't exist. And she continued to pray. She continued to pray for them, with them, and one time she finally, her cupboards ran bare. She needed some more food. So she began to get on her knees and pray, and she was praying hard, asking, Lord, please, 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 please fill her cupboards. She needs some groceries. You know, she was just asking God for some food. So these two little boys thought that, hey, you know what, we're going to play a trick on this lady. And what they did was they went out, and they got the groceries. And they said, you're going to get a kick out of this. Watch this. Watch this. So they took the groceries, and they went on the rooftop, and they lowered the groceries down through the chimney. And the lady saw the sacks right there in the fireplace, all this food, and she just began rejoicing and just had a hallelujah fit, just thanking God, rejoicing and thanking God, thanking God, thanking God. And finally, the boys came over, and she said, praise be to God. Praise be to God. You know, I have food. My cupboards are filled. God has delivered. God has done this. And those two little boys said, you know what? God didn't bring those groceries. We did. We went down to the store. We heard you asking for food, but we did that. There is no God. God, you know, God didn't do that. We did that. We played a trick on you. We tricked you. So you're praying to nobody. And she said, she turned to the two boys and said, no, even though the devil delivered the groceries, God sent them. So just marinate that on for a minute. Sometimes God uses different tools and different ways that may not be orthodox to get a point across. He can reach out to many, many, many of us and utilize anything, whether it's a child, a person, an object. You know, you just have to be obedient to him and keep the faith. I mean, it's due diligence. You must have faith in order for him to come into you. You must believe, open up your heart, and keep him. That brings me to my point of Luke, the chapter 5, verses 1 through 8. Again, that's Luke, 5th chapter, 1 through 8. And I'm just going to paraphrase this. You can read it for yourself. I'm pretty sure everybody's familiar with the story. And that's the story of Peter. Of Peter and the disciples fishing. Jesus was by the lake, and the two boats were parked there. And the fishermen, I'm going to call them the crew. The crew that, these are professional fishermen now. These are the guys, they're not novice. They don't go out there with just a cane pole and a bucket. They out there on the boat, and they have these big, huge nets. And according to the Bible, they were done. You know, Jesus had got through speaking to people and to the multitude, and, you know, they were done. They had cleaned their nets. That's how done they were. For those of you who don't know anything about fishing, once you clean the nets, if you're going out there fishing, your nets get real, real dirty. All kinds of stuff get caught up in it and trash and all that good stuff, but they didn't catch anything. But so they were washing their nets. So when you see professional fishermen washing their nets, that means that's it. It's time to go in. And they were cleaning these nets, and Jesus walked to the boat, and he walked in his own fashion, and he was basically asking them, hey, what y'all doing? You know, you all need to go out. Y'all don't have anything here. Y'all need to go out and go towards the deep, cast away from the shore a little bit. And they went out there. And when they went out there, he said, go by the deep. Don't stay by the shore. Go by the deep. Go on out there. And they went out, and he asked them to cast down their nets. And Peter, although a little hesitant, replied, just like many of us, we've been out here all night, and we ain't caught nothing. Ain't nothing out here. I mean, we've been out here all day, but because of who you are, I'm going to do it. Ain't that just like some of us? When God tells you to do something, when Jesus speaks to you, you must listen and you must be obedient. In order for anything to happen, you must be obedient. If you're looking for a blessing, you must be obedient. And he said, cast down your nets. And when they cast down the net, when they tried to pull the net back up, it was full of fish. Matter of fact, it was so full that, according to the Bible, the nets started to break. And it was too heavy. It was getting ready to tear up the boat. They had to call for the other boat to come help them gather up all the fish. He can do the impossible. Now, what am I saying? What I'm trying to explain in my own way is that a couple of key things happen. For one, they went out there to fish, and they had the chief fishers of men. They had Christ on board that boat. They really didn't need no poles or nets or any of that. But the fact that they had Christ on board, that should tell you something. You need to carry Christ with you wherever you go. In every walk, every hill, every corner, always keep him with you. And now, it's one thing to carry him with you. It's another thing to be obedient to him. He asked them to put the nets down. He didn't ask for any back talk. He don't want to know your way. I don't care what you've been doing. You have to be obedient. You've been in school 7 years trying to pass a specific class so that you can get a degree, and it don't look like you're going to do it because you've been failing. But then there's that voice of Christ telling you one more semester. Maybe this time, stop hanging out at the bar. Study a little more. Instead of studying at home, go to the library where it's quiet. One more semester, and then you will get that degree. Then you will pass that course. He does the impossible. He makes it possible by you being obedient. And that's what they did. They listened to him. And then they got an overabundance of everything. Now, I want to leave on this note and actually open up the floor before just handing the call over. But I want you to ask yourself, how obedient are you? How diligent is your faith? Are you humble? Are you respectful to Christ? Not just yourself, not to the blessing, not by what he can give you. I want you to imagine every day God giving you a blessing. But the size of that blessing is only as good as what you were thankful for yesterday. So in other words, you'll get this big abundance, this blessing, but he's only going to bless you with what you were thankful for yesterday. That's a very powerful statement, because many of us don't take the time to say thank you. Many of us are very, very selfish. Only time we fall on knees is when we want something. See, we're equipped with Christ. He's here. He's around us. He's easy to obtain. He doesn't go away. He's here, a part of our lives. He created us. It's almost like a car with a spare tire. Every car comes with a spare tire. But we don't never notice the spare tire. When you go buy a brand new car, nobody looks at the spare tire. Only time you want that spare tire is when you have a flat. That's the only time. Don't treat Christ like a spare tire. Don't only call on him when you need something. Don't only come to him when you have a crisis or there's pain. You have to be diligent, obedient, and faithful, and most of all, humble. I think this, and I'm getting ready to turn it over to Mr. Carr, this is coming from the exact version of the text is, again, coming from Luke, 5th chapter, 1st through the 8th verses. I hope you guys ate well.
Thank you so much, Mr. DJ. So, y'all, this is our learning center, the SMB Learning Center. And DJ just shared some good information, so I hope he was able to jot some of those notes down. As we just recapping our week, he can do the impossible. He had two great words on Wednesday and Sunday. We had great prayer on Monday, last Monday, this morning as well, and Friday morning. You know, now we close out this week with our learning center. Right. Just to recap, you know, on Wednesday, we talked a little bit about Joshua. Yeah, I remember Joshua.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yes, sir.
Okay. He took over for Moses. You know, Moses wasn't all the way passive, but Moses, you know, with the people of Israel, Moses led them out from Pharaoh. Y'all remember all that, right? And they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, but whose leadership was they under? Moses.
That's right.
Joshua took over. Joshua was very straightforward and direct. But God sent an angel to Mr. Joshua, and Joshua humbled himself. From new territory, uncharted territory for Joshua. because he was about to face some things that was impossible for him, but not impossible for God. Mm-hmm. Talked about that on Wednesday. Okay. Now, if y'all have any questions, please, please, star 5 or take this number down, 504-231-7849. 504-231-7849, and text it to me. Okay, and I'll just read your text. I won't say your name. And, you know, so we can get these things, any questions, scriptures, or whatever you may have. Okay? And I'll share it. All right. And then on yesterday, we talked a lot. Oh, man, we went so many different areas. Miss Candy spoke on some great points. You know, I delivered some things that was going to be effective for our lifestyle, our living. We talked about what we house, the Holy Spirit. We are a spirit. We have a soul. We live in a body. All those good things. All right? So we talked about those things. We also talked about the carnal Christian. And all this still comes under the umbrella of God doing the impossible. He can do the impossible. Carnal Christian was very strong because we talked about the three enemies that we have. One of them was flesh. The other was world, and the other one is the devil. Okay? And that's something that we may talk about in the near future, the three enemies. But with that being said, for this topic, as we learn, what's so important when we talk about he can do the impossible, that carnal Christian is important, and I need everybody to understand this. Carnal Christians, you have two types of carnal Christians. Write this down. I hope you're learning these things. As they're talking about God can do the impossible, but we have to peel back the layers so we can really learn this thing. Okay? With the carnal Christian, everybody remember the passage I gave on that, 1 Corinthians 2 and 14?
Yes, sir.
Everybody got that one? Okay, write that down, 1 Corinthians 2 and 14. But with the carnal Christian, what we learn is we have two types, Mr. DJ. We have the nasty, mean type, and then we have the nice type. Let me break those two down so we can understand. With carnal Christians, they you see carnal and Christian. You see flesh, they operate in the flesh, but they're Christian, they know the word of God. But like G.I. Joe said it best, knowing is half the battle. What sense does it make to have something you know about it, but you don't apply it? This is what makes many of us, that I have been a part of that category, I won't point nobody else out because we get offended by those things, so I'll just put myself on a frying pan, okay? I have been carnal Christian, meaning I know the things of God, but I do the things of the world. Two different types. You have your nice, meek, and mild, and then you have your nasty. Those are the bigoted type, the know-it-alls. God told me to tell you, type Christian. Carnal. All right? With carnal Christianity, Mr. DJ, as we're talking about, you know, he can do the impossible, watch how this goes together. The first type that I talked about, let me reverse it. Let me talk about the mean, nasty type. That's the type that you just don't want to be around. That's the type that almost cost you your salvation. You didn't want to know God because if they represent God, you want no part of God. Anybody met anybody like that?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Yeah. That's the type who always throwing the word of God at you, and they ain't living it themselves. To be carnal means that we operate in the flesh. We operate by our five senses. All of a sudden, DJ approves of Miss Tiana because Tiana looks the part. She's highly educated. She speaks very eloquently, fluent in her words. She can do all those things very nicely. And we say, Mr. DJ comes to Mr. Carr and say, Mr. Carr, we got us a winner. She know the word of God. She know God. Only because of the way she looks and the way she speaks. Wow. Hello, Christians. Come on. The mean, nasty type I'm talking about. That type of individual will also tell you that it's impossible for you to do the word of God because you didn't get ordained to do it because you didn't go to something called a ministry school because they rely on five senses. But if anybody know about something called a GIFT, a gift is freely given from God to use
for the person he gave it to, for God. In other words, I don't know how I got it. I just know. See, ordainment, if you look up the word ordain, that means God approves you to fulfill something that he needs you to do.
Amen.
So, therefore, a carnal Christian, the mean nasty type, would tell you that you cannot be operating in ministry because you didn't go to a physical building. And some physical person didn't ordain you. But see, remember the Bible says that God, the things of God, the things of God, y'all got to hear this now. The things of God, he can do the impossible. The thing of God, see, the carnal Christian says, the mean and nasty one says, that it is impossible for Mr. DJ who didn't go to school to be preaching. The things of God, see, the Bible says the things of God seems foolish to the carnal man.
That's right. That's right.
Y'all follow me so far?
Yes, sir.
The reason why I'm so adamant about this, and somebody might say it's personal, it's not personal, but I do take it personal, because a lot of us don't even operate in ministry because we let somebody tell us that we are not worthy because we didn't go to the school we went to.
Come on.
I'm talking to somebody on the phone. Not that you have to be a minister or a pastor, but you have shut down your ability to learn more about God because somebody made you feel inferior because you also said out of your mouth, you have accepted their behavior, systematic, accepted their behavior that says, I don't know what they know. You not knowing has nothing to do with you walking in God. So you, Lord. As the carnal Christian tell you, right from wrong, when God told you to move forward. This is important, Mr. DJ, because it leads us to our second type of carnal Christian, which is the nice one. I just talked to Miss Tiana about it. The nice carnal Christian is the one who still operates in the flesh. They know the word of God, but they're nice with it. See, a lot of us, ooh, especially a lot of females, I'm just telling y'all what it is now because I put myself on a, you know, frying pan. Let's tell the truth. We operate in our emotions. In other words, we start doing based on how we feel.
Mm.
I'm going to give to the homeless because they need something. Look at them. Mm-hmm. Hold on, you just said look at them. If I'm not mistaken, that's one of your senses. Now, just because you looked at them, do you know not how many times Jesus told the sick people to get up? He looked at them, but he also commanded their spirits to move. A lot of times you can get in the way. Y'all ever know a parent? Come on, parents out there. You get mad at the grandparents when you punish the kids, and they be like, oh, I don't do them like that. And they don't know the whole story, but you do, and they start pampering them, so they mess up your disciplinary actions.
That's right.
My. Well, let's get to the nice carnal Christian. This is number two. Is it possible that we could be messing up God's disciplinary actions?
Yes.
Uh-oh. But we think we're doing a good job, just like the grandparents think they're doing good too, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You get mad with them. But they think they're doing good, but you're mad. I only imagine how God is with us when we don't operate in the spirit. Because somebody I know, they're thinking, well, Mr. Carr, you know, you don't know what God is thinking. Obviously, you don't either because you operate by your senses. And in dealing with God, you should never operate by your senses because faith is something that we operate by, meaning there's an unction in the spirit that says move, not based on how they look and how they smell and they look sad and they look down. That don't make me move because I can bless somebody who has millions of dollars because the spirit says so. Oh, that sounds foolish. I know. You know why? Because we typically bless based on how we see things. In other words, we see that they need, but you don't think that the millionaire needs. Actually, the millionaire can be the one who's in dire need of something. Oh, my.
Come on.
I'm going to hop off carnal Christian because people don't, I ain't getting that one right there.
Huh.
That ruffles some feathers. But this is how we learn as we talk about the learning center. Because those are the two types of Christians, carnal Christians that we deal with, which all entail with this, he can do the impossible. Simply, Because when we get out of the carnality of life, then God starts to move in the supernatural of the Spirit. Meaning when we stop operating in the flesh, God gets his way. You do know that God is a spirit.
Yes, he is.
Now, we cannot see God. We cannot see God. We cannot see God. Joshua, as we talked about on Wednesday, did not see God. But he knew his father's voice through the angel.
My Lord.
Joshua was about to go to war with that angel. He said, who sent you and why? Oh, Mr. DJ. It gets real. Y'all follow me so far?
Yes, it does.
All right. But see, God wants to do a mighty, mighty, mighty thing for us. He can do what some consider impossible. So let's look at the word impossible. Let's look at the definition right quick. By definition, y'all write this down. Impossible. Impossible means something that's unattainable. That's with two T's. UNATTAINABLE. Unattainable. Impossible means unattainable. Huh? Y'all following? So far?
Yes.
Impossible means incapable of being done. Impossible means basic, not possible.
Mm-hmm.
Well, God can do those things that people say basically not possible. He can do the things that are incapable of being done by man. He can do those things that are unattainable by our strength. Who can heal cancer but God? They've been researching it for how long? And who sustains? I'm asking. Who can change you and I around? He can do the impossible. We can't change ourselves. We done went to every shrink. We done had therapy with our friends. Our mama and them done told us stuff. Our dad and them done told us. We done did exercise, all that. But who can change us but God? You said when you got a bigger raise, you was going to stop all that spending. You said that you was going to do this one more time and you wasn't going to be doing all that stuff no more. You said this was going to be your last drink and that was it. And that been how many drinks ago? Lord.
Indeed.
Mr. DJ, it's funny how God can do the impossible and he does it like that.
Please.
We can be in a club just shucking and jiving. And God can just hit us, and we say, hold on, this ain't for me.
That's right.
Amen.
Come on, y'all.
The blink of an eye.
That's true, right, Mr. DJ?
That's right. With the lack of it.
God, this is what God is all about. He can do the impossible. Miss Tiana, we have anybody who pressed star 5, anything like that? Any scriptures, questions, additives, anything you want to share? Okay? Do we have anyone, Mr.?
We don't have anyone right now, Mr. Carr, but I do have a few things
please,
I would love to share. Yeah, one of the greatest things about the Word of God is he gives us the examples over and over again, just showing how he's constantly doing what we would perceive as the impossible. If we want to learn any subject that we talk to week in and week out, we can always go right to his Word and find exactly an example of that. But I love what I've came to this week of all the impossible things that God's done in his Word. And the list I have, I know are not the end all, but just some examples for us to just go back and reflect on, one of which was shared on Wednesday, how David defeated Goliath. That would have never been seen as an opportunity for David, this small little man, to come up against this giant and be able to do so. But by his faith, he was able to fulfill on God's plan for his life as well as Goliath in that moment. Let's talk about Sarah having a baby at the age of 90. You ask any woman today, oh, I can't have birth at the age of 90. Most women don't even think they can have birth at the age of 40. But God once again shows by being faithful, he can do the impossible. We've seen stories all throughout the Bible about being healed by touch, healed by touching the hem of his garment, healed in the name of Jesus, healed in his name, how we are healed. He is doing the impossible, what we can never fathom. Daniel in the lion's den, who would have thought he would have come out unscathed? What about Abishag, Meshach, and Abednego in the furnace, coming out unburned? Absolutely nothing touched them. But making the blind man seen, turning a murderer into a savior, from Saul to Paul, or a doubter into a believer. Look at Thomas. But we can go on and on and on about just all the things that if we put our mind to it, yeah, it could never be possible. But if we trust and believe in what God has for us, all these things absolutely can come to fruition. Just something.
Yeah, that was good. You know what? You said something, but I wanted to jump here for a second as we talk about he can do the impossible. Y'all, what do you think is impossible for God to do in your life? As a matter of fact, we know that nothing is too hard for God, but do we really believe it? You know, my philosophy, Miss Tiana, and as we learn throughout this whole thing, is that, you know, if we know where we're going and we know that we can't be stopped, man can't stop you from going to heaven, why then does depression set in?
So true.
DJ, why then does disgust filtrates into our daily lives? So now we start to limit God. Miss Tiana just brought up a point, but I'm going to go back and read this as we talk about he can do the impossible. And I'm going to read the Amplified version because she actually brought this to my attention, and it's so strong. So Amplified version, I'm talking about 1 Corinthians 2 and 14. Let me read it for you guys. It says, but the natural means unbelieving. Okay? That's why the Bible says supernatural. But the natural, natural means unbelieving. I hope y'all taking note. Don't just listen. Write it down. Make your vision clear. Plain. The natural means unbelieving. But the natural man does not accept the things, the teachings, the revelations of the Spirit of God. For they are foolish, absurd, and illogical to him. So natural beings don't accept the teachings, things of God, because they are stupid to God. They're stupid to him. He is incapable. Y'all heard that incapable before tonight, didn't y'all? Okay. He is incapable of understanding them because they are spiritually discerned and appreciated. In other words, he's on channel 2, God is on channel 10. Two different stations. Yeah, we have been there before. When our parents told us a long time ago about God and we ain't hear it, now that we flip the station, we get it. But why should it take you going through something to get it?
Right.
Y'all, it's flooded in Baton Rouge. Don't drive through Baton Rouge. So somebody can challenge that and say, let me go drive. Okay. Is that wisdom? Okay. Incapable of understanding them because they are spiritually discerned and appreciated. Discerned and, big one, appreciated. God can do the impossible. The things of God are appreciated by those who are spiritually on the same channel as God.
Mm-hmm.
You ever had joy, unspeakable joy, and then you have people that are around you that are humbuggish and they don't understand why you're happy? They can't appreciate the spiritual things because you are happy and you understand that I refuse to say that I'm blessed because my house didn't get flooded. He can do the impossible. What that would signify and indicate is that God only loves me and not them. That messes up this thing called joy. The Bible says count it all joy. That means in the midst of the storm, whether my house got flooded or not, I'm still saying thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Oh, let me get, hold on, come on. Man, let me talk to some of the carnal Christians. I ain't calling y'all, but let me speak on it, can I? God can do the impossible because this is a learning center so we can learn and do the things of God. So when we say, thank God that I opened my eyes,
because it could have been worse. Well, then you're telling me that Jesus died at 33. Jesus died at 33. Jesus, somebody say 33 in French, whatever. But Jesus died at 33. So you mean to tell me that that's not a blessing? Lord, have mercy. See how spiritually disconnected we are? Because we think that the longer you live, the more you must be doing in God. And you are at L-I-E.
Mm-hmm.
That would indicate our Savior, perfection, was short-handed. Uh-oh, somebody said, I feel it in the spirit, Mr. DJ. I don't want to use the word feel, but I sense it in the spirit, DJ. Somebody saying, but that was Jesus. See, we like to detach ourselves from Jesus, but I promise you, you can detach now, but in the day of judgment, watch who you say you know.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
That was Jesus. That's a cop-out because we don't want to take on the same persona. No, Jesus said, let the same mind that he had, we should have. He died at 33. So you mean that death, the Bible, for those who don't understand the things of God, says to live is to suffer, but to die is to gain. Go read it. I ain't make it up. Oh, my God. Or are you insinuating that you need another day to get it right? I'm going to wait on that answer.
Mr. Farm, we actually have
I know, Miss Tian, hold on. Mr. DJ, that can be the only thing, the only rationale I can come up with, that when we say thank God for another day, that you still got to get it right.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right.
Because if that be the case, I promise you, you saying that Jesus left at 33, well, he didn't have it all together.
Mm.
Oh, my. Look, go ahead, Mr. Tian. He can do the impossible. What we got?
Good evening, Colin.
Yes, I would like to share a scripture tonight. Matthew 17 and 20, he replied, because you have so little faith, truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. And that was Matthew 17 and 20.
Hey, thank you for that.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So I would like, Miss Tiana, you know, and no disrespect, I'm sure Miss Candy could appreciate this, but when we, I would like for people to, we'll have a segment where we have, you know, that kind of stuff, the scriptures, because if we're flowing in something, I want to stay on that flow.
Okay, sir.
That's like a broken paragraph. It breaks up the transition.
Yes, sir.
But then if everybody understand what I'm saying? So
yes.
When we say he can do the impossible. Okay, what is it that limits God in your life? What's stopping God from doing the impossible in your life? Come on, Starfire, please, somebody, talk to me. Don't be afraid to talk. Please, you don't even have to say your name. Please.
Mr. Carr, we limit ourselves.
We do. And why is that, Mr. DJ?
We want to do what we want to do, and it's based on emotion, senses. Like you said, you know, the carnal Christian of how we feel. We want things done our way, even though we claim to know that he can do the impossible. You know, I would just sit there and imagine Christ saying, why are you bothering me? Why are you tripping? You know who I am. Like, really? Why do you keep doing this and this and this, and now you're doubting me?
Right.
You know, it's just us. You know, patience. That's the word I want to use, patient. We are not patient. As society gains technology and develop things for us to do a lot of stuff faster does not always mean better. And we think we can hurry God and control him, and we can't do that.
DJ, and you're right, we hurt ourselves. One of our three enemies, you remember those three enemies? Does everybody remember? This is our learning center now. He can do the impossible. Y'all remember the three enemies? Hush, Miss Tiana, because I know you're about to say them. Mr. DJ, you remember?
The three enemies, I don't know them in order. I remember you just said them. You just said them 10 minutes ago.
Okay, what we got? One was the world.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
The world. The flesh and the devil.
And the who?
And the devil.
and the devil. There you go.
Right.
Got him. Yes. Got them all three. Y'all, that's important that we know this, because if we look at our enemies are the very things that stop the progression of God with all he wants to do for us. So the three enemies are the three things that make things impossible in our life. The devil with his negativity, the world with their incorrectness and corruption, and our flesh. Our flesh is blind. Flesh don't know nothing. Now somebody say, well, my flesh know and I'm wise. Go ahead and use your wisdom against God's wisdom, and let's see what happens. But those are the three enemies that stop us from progression and God doing the impossible. Because our flesh would say, Mr. DJ, Lord, can I go? Yeah, I'm going. Our flesh would say that I have bought into this methodology, the systematic approach that African Americans are lazy.
Mm.
Now, I'm not going to do a consensus study on this phone because everybody want to be shy tonight. But if I talk to everybody one-on-one, Mr. DJ, see, they'll be running their mouth. They'll be talking. I don't know why people get shy on the phone. But my point is this. When we do that with the flesh, okay, we buy into that, and they are lazy. Well, as a man thinketh, so is he. So now God, we limit God from doing the impossible. Tell me this, anybody, I'm going to give y'all a simple question just to see if y'all out there, because I want somebody to press star 5, just to see if y'all really, you with me tonight? Press star 5. Who is lazy? The maid or the person who hired the maid? Tell me. Come on. Star 5, somebody, don't do that to me. Can I get some type of cooperation? Now, if we was on the phone and I wasn't talking to you, you'd be mad talking about you don't want to talk.
All right. We got two callers, Mr. Carr, that want to focus on that question.
let me get both of them. What we got?
The person who hired them.
The person who hired them is lazy. Okay. The next caller. Thank you so much for that.
Good evening, caller. Which one's lazy? Good evening, caller.
They got that Metro PCS phone over there.
All right. Here we go. Good evening, caller. Which one's lazy?
I'm going to say the maid.
The maid? Okay. Now, I didn't mean to talk about your phone. God forgive me. I apologize. Look, I just got a new Verizon phone, so, you know, I'm sitting high. Now I'm talking. All right. Good. Thank you.
Wow. Okay. Thanks.
I can't be promoted for Verizon. Scratch that. Don't put that on our recording. I can't promote for them. But y'all listen to what I'm saying, though. Y'all have to have fun in God, too. So listen to what I'm saying. So how can we call the hired work lazy? The person who hires them is lazy because they don't want to do it. But for years, think about this now. Every person, whether you Indonesian, Hispanic, whether you white, whether you black, whether you Jew, come on now, come on, Arabic,
right.
It doesn't matter what you are, we have been bred into the systematic approach that black is lazy, haven't we?
Yes.
Well, we just proved something different. The person who hired the maid is the one who's lazy. The maid can't never be lazy because they hired to do your work. So what I'm saying is I use it in a subtle sense. Maid equals slave. You brought slaves over here to do your work. So how then can you say lazy about people?
Come on.
Who was forced to do your work.
That's another topic. We'll get there. But my point is, listen to what I'm saying. He can do the impossible. What I'm saying is when we operate by our five senses, we buy into anything that the world tells us, which is an enemy, the world. Y'all, I even thought that for years. I said, oh, my people are lazy. It's not that they're lazy. If you pull back the latest layers, they have bought into the fact of if you call your son right now
If you call him a sissy from the time he's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, by the time he's 11, he's going to be a sissy, for real. Because that's all he knows. You've told him that time and time and time again, and he bought into
it. That's right.
Do y'all understand? Not only did we believe it, we received it, and we became it. Well, I want to write a book that says sun up to sundown. I'm talking about that's how slaves used to work. Muscles detach from the bone because they work so hard. And who's lazy? The reason I'm bringing that up is that he can do the impossible. Well, the world has lied to you. Your flesh has lied to you, and the devil has lied to you. And when they lie to you and we receive it, God overcoming the impossible. See, God is a pure gentleman. The Holy Spirit is a pure gentleman. As you know it, when you ready to come to God, that's when God comes in. But God comes to your doorstep every single day. Wrong or right, and he loves on you, whether you accept him or not. You just have the right to say decline, not today. What I'm saying is this. He can do the impossible if you allow him to.
Right.
See, we bought into it because of what we saw, what we heard, and how we felt. So we felt oppression. We heard oppression, and we saw oppression, so we became lazy because that's all we knew, because we used our senses. But if we used our spirit, God would say, not so. I didn't create you that way.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my. If this too deep for you, Tiana got the life jackets. Flotation device. Y'all follow me? We had any more Starfire, Miss Tim?
We do.
Come on.
Here we go. Good evening, caller.
Good evening, everyone. So one of the things, I know you posed a question, Mr. Carr, and I was going to say to answer that question is when we have doubt, and that's something that we just talked about as well. So we can't trust God and have doubt at the same time. And it's been so profound for me this past week as we talked about he can do the impossible, because for every moment that I begin to worry about something or become anxious, I had to go back to the word faith, which we've been talking about all this week, and just focus on exactly what that is. And we know that's our belief system. So it tells us that it's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And faith is what is able to actually grasp the reality of the possible in the way of things seeming impossible. And faith is what has the power to move mountains, you know, like the Bible tells us. So I just want to reference Romans chapter 4. Verses 19 through 21, and Miss Tiana brought it up about Sarah, but it's talking about Abraham and Sarah, and it states, he did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. No unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. So the simple thing is, but yet so profound, is we have to believe. And if we remember that, we'd be much better off going forward as we, you know, strive to trust God in what he is going to do in our lives. So I just wanted to share that.
Thank you so much. He can do the impossible. One thing that I challenge everybody with, okay, this is my challenge to you guys. Please broaden our horizons. What I mean by that is, even myself, I always challenge myself. Go deeper than the scriptures that everybody always know.
Mm-hmm.
How many people are going to keep on calling in if we keep on saying the same scriptures? I want to tell me this, Mr. DJ.
Mm.
So not only us, but what about you guys? You got to go deeper, because what happens is now we become stagnant in our growth. What I mean by stagnant,
Why are we still reading third grade books after 10 years? There's an internet out there that's very powerful. It's powerful for the flesh, but it's more powerful for the spirit if you choose to use it that way. Mm-hmm. Now I know to some, they'll be like, well, that's wrong because they're trying. Don't try to do it. And it's not being wrong. Do not rely on your leaders, your pastors, your mentors to deliver God's word to you when you have a personal one-on-one relationship. If y'all get on the phone and every night y'all have the same exact conversation, how long y'all going to be talking, you and God?
That's a good point.
So I'm challenging us to expand our horizons. If you want to make more money every year, why don't we want to fall deeper in love with God every year? Huh? If you made the same amount of money that you made in 1995, would you still be? See, I don't know. Look, Mr. DJ didn't almost curse on the phone, but shit. So I know. Let me challenge him this way. He can do the impossible. I know. This is our learning center. I know that God is more important than your money. So if you don't want your money to stay the same, I know you don't want your relationship to stay the same either, do you? See, what I'm saying is God and fitness are hand in hand, alike. Everybody wants results, but nobody wants to put in that work. Everybody trying to take a shortcut when it comes to fitness. They don't want to put in what I call sweat equity. They don't want to hurt. Everybody want to take a shortcut because what we say all you got to do is believe. That is a lie. If believing was the thing, you know how many people going to heaven. Show me in the scripture what the Bible says all you have to do is believe, and I'm going to break it down to you. But the Bible says, you know, all you have to do is have faith. But didn't he say faith without works is what? So that means it's combined with something else. That means it's your believing combined with your lifestyle. You don't just have to believe. That's the lie that you've been told how many years ago, and ain't nothing changed in your life because you just believed. It felt good for the day, and you went home and came back with the same outcome. So, if that relationship works with God, that all you have to do is believe, go get yourself a natural relationship. I said natural. And all you do is believe that y'all in a relationship, and let's see how long he or she stay. I'm going to wait for it. Because all you got to do is believe y'all in a relationship, and it's going to be successful. Just believe. Y'all hear that? He can do the impossible. We got to give God a canvas. It's more good just than just believing in God. That's why a sinner can say, I believe in God, but they never conform to the things of God. Because, see, belief can go unchecked. You can't tell somebody what they believe. Let me say that again, Miss Tiana. You can't tell somebody what they believe. But what you can tell them is, hold on, your lifestyle not making me a believer in the God that you say you serve.
That's the truth.
You know how they say make people believers? By your actions? Well, we say actions speak louder than words. This is our learning center. So if actions speak louder than words, oh, I'm sorry, that only applies when we want people to do actions for us, not us do actions for God or them. That's what they was getting at? I see people don't be liking when I teach like this because then I challenge people too much.
Bring it.
Because we bought into that suggested systematic behavior that says black is lazy, so that's why we lazy. We want them to do, not us do. True?
True.
He can do the impossible. Let me close it out. I have three golden points I want to share. Four, I'm sorry. Impossible. Y'all wrote the definition down. Let me give y'all a brief definition. Impossible. Write down hopeless. He can do the hopeless. Huh? Impossible. Incredible. Unthinkable. He can do all that. Write this down. Why should we trust God even in the impossible situations? Our golden point number one, the reason why we can trust God in the impossible situations, number one, is God can make possible the impossible. In other words, he can change that thing that was impossible to possible. Write down Exodus chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. The Bible says, the baby's sister approached the princess. Should I go and find one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you? She asked. You do, the princess replied. So the girl rushed home and called the baby's mother. See, in this scripture, what you're going to find is that Moses' mother, was reunited with her baby. God used her courageous act of saving and hiding her baby to begin his plan to rescue his people from Egypt. In other words, God don't need much from us to accomplish his plan in our life. Remember, all we need to have is the faith the size of a mustard seed, which is one of the smallest seeds that you'll ever see. It grows to be one of the largest trees that you'll ever see as well. Okay? Y'all understand that when we focus on our human predicament, this may paralyze us because the situation may appear humanly impossible. Mr. DJ, it is impossible for you to go inside a lion's den and talk about it tomorrow. Huh?
That's right.
But Mr. DJ, if you concentrate on God and his power and how he will help you throughout that experience in the lion's den because he told you to go, then it changes from impossible to possible. As a matter of fact, many of us right now may not be able to see beyond our troubles. You're on the phone, but you're thinking about something that is troubling you, right? But if you focus on God instead of your troubles, and trust him instead of trusting your natural eyes and your abilities to get out of it, see, what happened is God will move it and not you.
That's right. Amen.
Y'all understand? Because when you anchored in the Lord, that means I ain't going nowhere.
That's right.
Number two, second golden point. Why should we trust God even in impossible situations? Number two, impossibilities limit people, but they don't limit God. Impossibilities limit people, but they don't limit God. Write down Mark 6:35-37. Go back and read that. Okay, they limit people, but they don't limit God. And here you see that he was talking about his disciples. They were pondering things. They were confused. They were still unbelieving. Doesn't that sound like us today? We'd be pondering different things. We're confused. We're still underbelieving. Shoot, they had a flood down here, Mr. DJ. You know how many thoughts went through our minds to say, hold on, mine didn't get affected, but I want to know how much I can get from it? Y'all don't want to be real with me, but I'll be real with y'all.
Come on.
Because we're trying to see how much money we can get, and it didn't affect us. And if it did affect us, we want to still maximize. We want to throw everything in there that we didn't even have. See, nobody likes the truth. Right?
That's right.
This is true, right?
That's right.
So, and we still unbelieving in God. We say we believe that he can do the impossible, but if we believe that he can do the impossible, why do we complain about the things that we cannot do? Why we complain? You can't change your sister. You can't change your brother. You can't change your mama how she treats you. You can't change your daddy how he treats you. Why you mad? I thought you said God can do the impossible. So that means you never gave it to God because you, say that you got it.
Exactly.
So his disciples, even back then, and Mark, you'll see, they were still unbelieving. They didn't believe everything he said. They didn't realize that Jesus could provide for them.
We don't realize that Jesus could provide for us. Although he's provided for us before, we said that was then. Huh? Right? Y'all, don't limit God. Our limitations are set in place. We can only grow 5 foot nine, 5 foot two, 5 foot five, 6 foot three. But God said his spirit goes beyond measure. Y'all follow me?
That's right.
We can only earn so much, but God says, you know, in his storehouse, things overflow. According to the riches in his glory, not money. But this is a riches that people don't understand. That money can't even buy nor provide. Y'all follow me? Number three, write this down. Impossibilities are simply God's opportunities to work. Lord, I love this. Impossibilities are simply God's opportunities to work. In other words, God created the roadblock in your life. Stop getting mad at the devil. Stop giving the devil credit. Stop saying the devil did this. Stop saying this, that, and other about the devil. Stop saying they stopped you. Stop saying I stopped myself. God stopped it, because if God wouldn't have stopped it, you wouldn't need him. Think about that for a second. Think about that for a second. You about to go to work, Miss Tiana. Mm-hmm. You about to go to work. You done called Miss Candy. You done called Mr. DJ. Y'all, I don't know where my keys at. They tell you to backtrace. Last person you was and go backwards. Miss Tiana, don't look. This is her first day of work. She don't need to be late. Brand new job. You know, boom, 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 yada, yada, yada. What Miss Tiana about to come out her mouth next? God, please help me find these keys. I don't think y'all understand what I'm saying. God would make the roadblock so that you can call on him. The roadblock was to get you to call on him to say, God, I surrender, I submit. I can't find them, but I know you can. It's just so funny how we always find them keys. That'd be so funny. You call on God's name and it's like vamoose, boom. That's not a magic trick that we're doing. In other words, I'm using that as a small example. God would drop us down to our knees where it seems impossible, yeah, to us. But he said, what you can't do, now you would know me as God because I can. Make sense?
Yes, sir.
Because if we can do everything that God could do, we wouldn't call him God, or we'll be pretending when we did.
Wow.
All right. Number four, the last one. In Christ, God has made possible the impossible. This is good. Write down Luke 18:26-27. Luke 18:26-27, and it says, those who heard this said, then who in the world can be saved? He replied, what is impossible from a human perspective is possible with God. Because money presents power. Money presents authority, doesn't it? Money presents success, don't it? Often it is difficult for wealthy people to realize that their need and their powerlessness to save themselves. It's difficult. Y'all follow me?
Yes, sir.
Don't we deem, y'all don't want to be honest tonight. That's okay. I'm going to be honest by myself. I know for a fact we want our daughters, we want our sons to be with somebody successful. The definition of success in your eyes is business, power, money, and come on. Did I go on? Yeah. Y'all with me? See, the Bible was speaking about in Luke, those who are rich in talent or intelligence suffer from the same difficulty that those who are poor suffer with. In other words, unless God reaches down into their lives, they would not come to him. See, Jesus surpassed some of his hearers by offering salvation to the poor. He offered salvation to the poor. He may surprise some people today by offering it to them as well, to the rich. It is difficult for a self-sufficient person to realize his or her need to come to Jesus. But what is impossible for human perspectives is possible with God. What I'm saying is, see, when we are high and mighty, we don't have the need for God. Now, you may look at it from the lens of, I think that, Mr. Carr, you know, I beg to differ. I think that if I did have money, I would. But see, you are without it, so you don't know that. Just like when we don't have money, you know everything that you want to buy. But when you have that money, tell me everything you want to buy. You don't know no more. Y'all sleep. Anybody ever had money? And then you just lost track of what you wanted to get? But when you don't have it, you know everything you want? I'm muting Miss Candy because y'all not talking to me. I'm muting Miss Candy, please. I'm muting Miss Candy, thank you. Is that not true, Miss Candy?
It is. Yes, sir, it is.
Okay. And this is a fact. So when we have money, Miss Candy, when the rich, this is why the Bible said it's easier for the camel to go through an eye of a needle than a rich man to make it into heaven. But our learning center, it is possible, because even with the rich man, before God made that statement, this is where it came from. God said, go and sell all your possessions and give the money to the poor. God gives us opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. God said, what is impossible to man is possible for God. It's impossible for a rich person to give up all their money, but when they give it to God, there you go. There you go. Because I know, so as my name is what it is. If I wasn't in God and I had $10 million, y'all not about to see no 10% of taxes, nor whew. I'm going to change my number, that 504 number. Y'all can keep it. That thing will be like, da-da-da-da, the number you have reached. Right?
Yeah.
When it comes to God, now that I have given to God, now that I know it's not my earnings but his, then I let him lead and direct me. Now, everybody on this phone would be fair, it would be fair to say it is hard if we had $10 million to give $10 million away. But everybody on this phone who are trying to go to heaven, and we knew if that $10 million was separating us from heaven, I bet you'll give it up.
Oh, yes.
See? Now, see, when you bring God in the equation, see how it changed? Exactly. Bring God in the equation and watch the impossible become possible.
Amen.
Let us go ahead and pray, Ms. Candy, please.
Mr. Carr, before we pray, we did have two people who've been waiting to share.
Okay, go ahead.
Good evening, caller. Good evening, caller.
Good evening. I just had a scripture that I wanted to share. Because one of the stories this week that I read came from Luke chapter 18, but it was at the beginning. It was the story about the unjust judge and the persistent widow, just how persistent she was in her quest to get justice. And although the judge didn't, he made it abundantly clear that he didn't fear God and he didn't care about people, she was persistent, and she kept going, and he ended up giving her granting her justice simply because he didn't want her bothering him. But again, he did reference that he didn't, he didn't fear God at all. But what stuck out for me was the scripture toward the end, which is what I'm going to share. Again, as Luke chapter 18, verses 6 through 8, I'm reading this from the Message Bible. And it states, then the master said, do you hear what the judge, corrupt as he is saying? So what makes you think God won't step in and work justice for his chosen people who continue to cry out for help? Won't he stick up for them? I assure you he will. He will not drag his feet. But how much of that kind of persistent faith will the Son of Man find on earth when he returns? So I wanted to share that again because I know most time when we talk about he can do the impossible, we're faced with many different situations. Many of those where we say we settle in what we get because we just deem it as something that we can't do, and we don't hear from God in the time that we think we should. But just to remain persistent in our praying and active in our faith, and we'll see, whatever it is comes to pass. So I just wanted to share that this evening.
Well, thank you so much. And it just goes right along with he can do the impossible. I know even doing all these things here in the South and that's going around the country, as we even learned tonight, how so many say, for a time there, people saying we're going to do a boycott. How long did that boycott last? About 24 hours? Like a 24-hour flu?
Yep.
I mean, y'all laughing, but just like you laughed just now, the people who you were boycotting was laughing then because of the inconsistency of this thing called persistence. And she just gave notion to it. God moves with persistence. If God moves with persistence, you have an enemy, the devil, that tries to mimic God. But you have three enemies, not just one. Mr. DJ, tell all three one more time real quickly. What was the first one?
The flesh.
Second one?
The devil and the world.
The third one and the world. So those three enemies look at your inconsistent persistence. So we say, I'm not going to do it, I'm not going to go, and I'm not going to, patronize your business. But how long that lasts, that's why they laugh. And that's why
right.
The devil laughs. Because you may have it going on Monday night, but I'll catch you tomorrow because you're only persistent for how many more hours? About three more hours, 4 miles? Okay. Make sense? But when we're persistent with God, just like the young lady in the Bible was persistent with the judge overturned it. The man was facing the wall, Miss Sharon, and was persistent. And that's when God, y'all, G-O-D, changed his mind because God was about to end that man's life. And he extended years. Now, ain't that something? Through persistence. Because we diligently seek God, he can do the impossible. But we give up because we really didn't want to do it in the first place.
Mm.
And that's the God's honest truth. When you warned that man, you ain't stopped. Even if he had a wife. Go ahead now. Here we go. Who's the second caller, Miss Tiana? I'm going to leave that alone.
Good evening, caller.
Hi, how are you? Mr. Carr stated a while ago, he spoke that when people go through things, why is it that they feel depressed? But I just wanted to reference that a little bit. And right now I'm currently going through like challenges that I've never faced before and, a lot of tough situations. And for me, I can get why people can – get a little low, and they begin to believe the lies that the enemy tells them. At these times when you're facing these challenges, God can be silent. And sometimes, in this silence, you lose yourself, and you lose, what it is that the Word of God says. But we must remember that although God is silent, he is always with us. The Bible tells us that God will never leave us nor forsake us. So even in these times of hardness and times of struggles, we must understand and know that God is always with us. And, God was speaking to me, and he told me that the problem is, for me personally, I put him in this box. And in this box, I tell God what it is that I want for him to do or what it is that I believe that he can do, and I don't go any further. So, I'm listening to these gospel songs, and I'm hearing these songs. He's intentional. But how much of that am I really believing? So, we're listening to Mr. Carr as we call in on a weekly basis, but how much of it are we really believing what's being said? And so I just want to encourage someone to go bigger, go deeper in the Word. We all want to grow, and we all say that we want to become better, but when those growing pains hit, we quit. So I want them to understand and know that God is with us. No matter how dark it may seem, no matter how low you get, he's with us. So just push through and believe that he can do the impossible beyond what you believe is the impossible. He goes up even further than that. So just hold on, hang in there, and trust and know that God, if you're in the will of God and you believe that you're walking in his light, that anything that he has in your life right now that's happening is for your good. He's doing this for your good. All he wants, his children. God is good. He's love. He's not going to have you go through something for nothing.
So hang in there, just trust, believe, and fight for your future. Fight for your purpose. Fight for God's will. And don't give up.
And
believe God can do the impossible.
Amen.
Yep. Hey, that's all the way from New York. She's from Jamaica somewhere. She got the accent. Where you from?
I am from Jersey. This is, sorry.
New York, Jersey, we all fell. It's all the same. But y'all might say she's passionate, but let me tell you something. It's absolutely correct.
Mm-hmm.
It's not believing Mr. Carr, because Mr. Carr, you know, y'all can say it's plagiarizing because I'm saying what the Bible says. So that's plagiarism. But God don't call it plagiarizing. He's just saying you're mimicking. The truth of the matter is we can talk till our tongues fall out. She just told you, you can listen to gospel songs and feel good about yourself. But now we're relying on those senses again. And we become carnal Christians. So we limit God to music, so Satan knows that it takes a song to get you, you know, connected to God. So what about when you at your job when you can't listen to the song? Reality strikes. When you in love with someone, it ain't about the song, it ain't about the movie, it ain't about the dinner, it's about that individual. We get ourselves in trouble with God because we can't physically see him. This is why we don't yet believe in long-distance relationship, because we can't physically see someone. But if you don't believe in the natural long-distance, you surely can't believe in that one.
Amen.
Amen.
I know I stepped on some toes. Somebody talking about, I don't, because they don't work. How you know they don't work? Because yours with God not working? What is it?
Yes.
Don't drop the phone. Mm-hmm. But I'm getting out. We are over 16 minutes after the hour. Eternity going to go longer than that. But I'm just saying, y'all follow me?
Yes, sir.
The reality is this. Much like she just said. Listen to what she just said now. Okay? Sometimes you got to lose yourself, lose your identity. Huh? Lose your identity. I am convinced that God can do the impossible. But when we marry God, when we let God have his way, because both men and women, men us too, we are God's bride. That's not homophobic, but we are his bride because we are the weaker of the two. Satan don't mess with God. He messes with the weak one, us. But God said he can do the impossible. That's like letting a woman, letting her man do it. That's all he want to do is do it. But we can't be the type in this relationship that want to keep our last name. Lord have mercy.
Mm-hmm.
You can't hyphenate your name when you marry God. And when you hyphenate, come on, y'all want to know the name that y'all take on? That we take on when we hyphenate our name? We take on the name Carnal Christian.
Amen. Come on. Come on.
When we do not let go of our identity, we take on carnal Christian. You know how people say, you know, Lawrence Jones? No way, Jose. It should be Christian, not carnal Christian. But we're married to God, but we just don't want to let go of our identity. Let it go.
Yes, sir.
Hmm? I, too, get it, like she said. I get why people go through it. I'm not detached from that. I'm not immune from that. I understand it, meaning I empathize, but I don't sympathize. Sympathize is emotional. Empathize meaning I understand. God understands more so than me. But just because he understands don't mean that he will condone.
Amen.
Remember, the Bible, God said he would not give you more than what you can bear. That means when you go through it, he want to know what you're going to give to him.
That's right.
He can do the impossible. Give your impossibilities to God. And watch what he gives you in return. He's going to give you peace. See, when you give things to God, this is our learning center. Give them to peace. In other words, I ain't worried about them no more. I'm just going to be peaceful. I ain't worried about what they did to me. I'm just going to be practicing forgiveness. See, when you do those things, you're giving it to God. Because God, he is, love is patient. Love is kind. So when you give it to God, you give it to patience. Be patient with the situation. When you give it to God, give it to kindness. In other words, let kindness have its way. He's not jealous, boastful, nor rude. So don't give it to jealousy. Don't give it to boastfulness. Don't give it to rudeness. Because now he can't do the impossible. In other words, that person that didn't like you will become to love you because you gave it to. Let me show y'all this one thing, and then we're about to get off the phone. I remember Mr. DJ one time, some time ago, when I was in my teens. I'm in my 20s now.
Yeah.
They say, help him, Jesus, sneeze on him, huh? Okay, now listen, I was doing my things at the gym. And I said, you know what, and I kid y'all not, I said, I'm a try God. I kid you not, I said, I'm a try God. I went to the gym every single day, normal routine, and I would speak to this guy. He was just bulldog mean, just mean, just nasty. I wouldn't speak. How you doing, man? Wouldn't speak. Next day, how you doing? I did this for about 2 weeks straight. That third week, I promise you, I said, this dude don't speak to me today. I ain't speaking no more. How you doing, man? Dude didn't speak. I said, okay, cool. Next day I came in, I did not speak at all. Look how God slapped me on my behind. Sure enough, he can do the impossible. I didn't speak. That guy lifted up his head and say, man, what's going on? You ain't speaking today?
Yes, indeed.
I had to repent to God. I'm serious. Because I let my five senses get in the way of him doing the impossible. He was still yet working on that guy. Lord, have mercy. And working on me, too. Y'all follow me? And from that day forward, me and that guy being cool as ever. Ain't that something?
Yep.
I wonder what we have given up on, persistence, when God said keep on going. Because he want to work it. He want to work it through your situation, but he also want to work it through you. Because it's not just for them, huh? It's for you too. Mm-hmm. Selfish way, but it's going to help you out as well as help them. Let us go ahead and pray, Miss Candy.
Father God, we thank you for this message tonight, Lord, and all of our friends who gather here together, Lord. Lord, we just thank you for continuing every time we meet together to meet us with a new word, Lord, to meet us with the word that chastises us, Lord, that challenges us, Lord, that continues to help us grow. We are so thankful for the opportunity to share in your word together, Lord, and we pray that you will continue to allow us to meet here together, Lord. Lord, we pray over each and every person on the call tonight, Lord, that they were able to not only receive something tonight, but on every single call that they joined us on, they were able to receive, but more importantly, Lord, that they're able to take your word and share it with someone else. Lord, we pray that you will keep us safe until we shall meet again. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Y'all join us on Wednesday. We have our, we're doing prayer on Wednesday night because we pray first and close it out, but we're doing our Bible study. Y'all have a great night.
Good night.
Good night.